So let's switch gears. Hard to do, obviously. But let's switch gears back to college football like we said we would do. And honestly, there's so much to talk about on the football field, so we obviously have to. Let's start with last week, the game of the century. Sam, what did you think of the game of the century?
Well, I mean, before the scandal broke with Penn State, most people in the college football world were talking about two main things as it relates to this game. First, was it entertaining? Like, did it live up to its ridiculous billing?
Right.
And second, should there be a rematch if scenarios came together to make it possible? For my money, it was a fantastically entertaining game.
I agree.
Admittedly, I love defense, but I was very entertained by exactly the kind of game that I think going in we hoped for.
Yeah, I loved it, and I thought it was a lot like a soccer game or a defensive hockey game where every point counted.
Yep.
You knew that every point was so precious, and all these people that are saying, oh, how can it be a classic if you don't have touchdowns or big plays? Well, you must not have been paying attention to these defenses. Yeah. You must not have been paying attention to these defensive lines. There were big plays all over the place.
I mean, for those people that are turned off by college football because it sometimes turns into a track meet, I mean, you have inflated scores, inflated numbers. That is the nature at times of college football. Those people also tend to love the NFL, so you have this difference in opinion there. But this was their type of game. This was an NFL type of game. And the truth is, there's a reason for that. The amount of talent that is going to be in the NFL, specifically on both defenses, made it that kind of game. So certainly it wasn't pretty at times. When you get no touchdowns, inevitably you're going to have an ugly game at times. But I thought it was everything that we wanted it to be, including an overtime game, mm-hmm. which people kind of were hinting, if we get an overtime game, then that's going to drive home this argument of should there be a rematch or not. But it was a great atmosphere and a great game for college football, I thought.
I loved the game. It obviously wasn't the game of the century, right, which has kind of become more of a sarcastic thing at this point. But it could easily be argued it was the game of the year, as different as it was from the Stanford-USC game and the Michigan State-Wisconsin game. It was a great game to watch. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. What was funny, I'm talking to people on Twitter throughout the game, and people are saying, wow, this is enthralling stuff. And I said, I know, right? And they said I was being sarcastic. So it really, like you said, it goes to show you the difference in opinions, because I didn't realize they were being sarcastic. I thought it was enthralling the whole way.
I mean, you especially, I think that what I was reading, and I think there's a lot of validity to this, we come at this from the West Coast. We're based in Los Angeles. The West Coast and the Midwest hated on this game throughout it. You'd expect that kind of reaction. In the South, they loved it. From a West Coast perspective, I think it's a little bit ridiculous to say, as I've heard so many times, that it was these putrid offenses that were the reason it was a 9-6 game. That these teams, you know, they can't throw a forward pass, they have no idea how to play the game offensively, when in reality, against very good teams, you're talking about teams like Oregon and Arkansas and a pre-Armageddon Penn State and a lot of other teams that had a pulse. These offenses were averaging nearly 40 points a game. So I look at it,
two top 15 offenses.
Sure. So, I mean, we can hear these varying points from all over the country, and I understand it. It was not the most entertaining game. But to suggest that it was only 9-6 because of how pitiful the offenses were, I just don't think that's accurate.
And it was almost, like you said, strictly geographical.
Right.
SEC country said, look at our great defenses. Yeah. Everybody else said, look at these terrible offenses. It might have been a little bit of both, but it was more 80-20 defenses than it was 50-50. So I thought it was a great game. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I have to say, though, after that game, I don't need a rematch.
Yep.
As much as I enjoyed the game, I don't need a rematch because LSU came out on top. Now, you could argue with all the missed field goals by Alabama, they could have easily won that game. But the fact that LSU went into Alabama and beat them, you were saying last week, a great bring up by you, that if Alabama wins this game and then LSU wins the game in New Orleans, what did we really prove?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm kind of saying, LSU went on the road and beat Alabama, so I don't need anything else to be proven by a rematch. And sure, Alabama could go into LSU or at least go into New Orleans and win that game, but I don't need to see it, personally.
For my money, I think these are the two best teams in college
football. I agree with
that. If your goal is to put them on the field in a national championship, it's great to argue that there should be a rematch, but let's think about it like this. You're going to then make LSU beat Alabama twice to win a national championship, and whereas you're only going to make Alabama beat LSU once to win a national championship. I think that's unfair, because the reality is, if you only make Alabama...
And you're also making LSU win the SEC championship.
On what planet does it make sense that you're going to only make Alabama beat this team one time, whereas you're going to make LSU win that game twice to claim that they're the national champion? If we had a series, if we could make it a three-game series, fine, but we can't, and so that's the only reason that I don't think that the rematch should occur. Frankly, I do think these are the two best teams. If your goal is to put the two best teams in the country on the field for a national championship, I certainly don't think that them being in the same division should keep it from happening.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree that they're the two best teams in the country, but you said that the goal is to put the two best teams on the field. I think the goal is to put the two most deserving teams on the field, which you could certainly argue, obviously, and perhaps it is unfair.
That's what I'm saying. That's the difference in semantics. What is your goal if you're the BCS? Is it because I think you're right. The BCS is set up to put the two teams that are deserving based on the system on the field. It doesn't mean you're going to get the two best teams. So under this system, the rematch just isn't going to happen. It's just how it is. The BCS is set up to put a team from the SEC against what will likely be, if we get it, an Oklahoma State or a Stanford. But if it doesn't happen, you're going to get a one-loss team that probably still wouldn't be Alabama.
See, and that's where I would have a problem.
Right.
Because if Oklahoma State runs the table, Stanford runs the table, we've both been proponents of the fact that, yeah, maybe those teams aren't as good as Alabama, but if you run the table in a BCS conference with the system in place as it is, like you're talking about, then those teams deserve a shot. But if we're talking about an undefeated Boise State beating essentially nobody, or everybody losing a game and putting a one-loss Oklahoma in there just because you don't want to see a rematch, that's bogus.
And that's where I would love to take on the people that say that it's the division that gets them, because I would love to sit down and discuss why, under that exact scenario you just pointed out, why we have to put Oklahoma in there, because somehow it's LSU and Alabama's fault that they play in the same division.
Right.
It's like the AL East of college football.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that the Yankees, that the Yankees and the Red Sox can't make the playoffs if they're the two best teams. I mean, in that scenario, you can if there's a wild card. For us, we're telling you can't, because the division's the only thing that decides it.
Yeah. It's asinine. It's punishing the two teams for being in the same conference.
Right.
They didn't decide that.
Right.
If Alabama and LSU could have just picked, say, 12 games and they didn't pick each other, they would have gone undefeated.
Right.
So nobody else was going to beat them in the regular season in all likelihood, other than perhaps Arkansas or LSU.
We'll see
what happens in that one. But before we get into these BCS standings, just some other things that happened last week. Kellen Moore, 46-2, man. I mean, the most wins all time in college football. He's probably going to pick up four more in the regular season, and then his bowl game. So he'll get to 50 wins in all likelihood. Incredible career, and you can say what you want about his competition, but 46-2 in college football, and the way he's done it, easily one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time, arguably the best.
You know, he's just a winner. I'm not going to say he's the quarterback I would select as the best of all time, but what I will say is that his mind is as sharp as Andrew Luck's. I mean, he's not as big as Andrew Luck. He's not as mobile as Andrew Luck, and that's the reason that who knows what his draft status is going to be. But when you talk about how great Andrew Luck's mind is, and we talk about that all the time, that he's the smartest quarterback in the country, I would suggest that Kellen Moore, if he does trail Andrew Luck in that category, it's not by much, because he is just as great at thinking through a football game as Andrew Luck is, and I think that's part of why he's won as many games as he has.
Kellen Moore, anybody that would argue that, you know, his stats and what he's done is just based on easy competition, I challenge you to watch every game he's played against a tough opponent. The Georgias and Oregons and TCUs, and he always rises to the occasion. He can always be counted on late in the game. He's an incredible player, and I hope he gets a shot at the next level, because honestly, he does have a ton of compete, and we're saying it not in the way that you say, oh, the kid's a winner, like it's just a consolation prize. He really is a winner. I think he can be at the NFL level, too.
He is. You know, the NFL, obviously, it's fickle with how they do things, and their evaluation is based on a completely different standard than anything that 46-2 is going to tell them. They'll look at that. They'll think it's great. They have a whole other way of measuring quarterbacks. But, you know, this guy, every team that he's been on in these last few years with Boise, and it's changed. The personnel's changed. This year, it's totally different. They all rally behind him.
Yeah, for them to go into that Georgia game with so many different weapons on offense and to just not skip a beat, that's Kellen Moore, is what that was. Oklahoma, 41-25 against Texas A&M. Once again, just steamrolling a very good team. Once again, just putting that loss in their rearview mirror. And like we alluded to, they're the team that in an Armageddon situation probably gets in there, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they do. This is what Bob Stoops is known for. And you know what? Bob Stoops didn't freak out over the Texas Tech game. And I don't think he was never going to. He always had his eye on exactly what could
play out. Even after Skip Bayless called for his head, you don't think that bothered him?
I don't think Bob Stoops listens to Skip Bayless. But no, I mean, you know, he's got his eye on the prize. And Oklahoma has a very realistic shot to still position themselves right there at the end for a national championship, whether we like it or not. The loss is probably not going to be the best loss of the one-loss teams. If all those teams have a loss, their loss is not going to look nearly as good as some of the others. But Oklahoma was the preseason number one team. They lost Ryan Broyles, which is a huge loss, and that could actually be the reason that they get a second loss before the season's over. But they're right there, and it wouldn't stun me if they found themselves in New Orleans somehow.
And of course, everybody who hated the Alabama-LSU game had plenty of entertainment in arguably the game of the week. If you didn't like defense, Oklahoma State, Kansas State going right down to the wire, trading blows for blows. Oklahoma State ends up holding on 52-45. Kansas State had some big chances first and goal to tie that game up. I wonder if they would have gone for two there, because beating Oklahoma State in overtime would be a tall task, especially with the way the offense was clicking. I almost think Bill Snyder would have gone for two there, and that could have been dangerous.
I mean, we love Bill Snyder, and the rule of thumb is usually if you're on the road, go for two. It wouldn't have stunned me at all if they would have gone for two, especially because the point that comes out of this game for me is Oklahoma State got pushed around on the line of scrimmage in this game. They lost the turnover battle. I should say that they finally lost the turnover
battle. Yeah, they finally came back down to earth a little bit.
I mean, which, you know, they turned it over four times. And the Cowboys defense gave up 507 yards of offense. Again, they were pushed around against a Kansas State team that obviously likes to establish the run. But when you watch this team, as good as Brandon Weeden is and as good as Justin Blackmon is, who, by the way, should probably be invited to New York City by the season's end.
Of course.
But I just don't know if we can buy into them as a legitimate threat to win a national championship if they're going to lose the line of scrimmage as often as they do. I don't know what this team is going to need to become in order to win a game against Alabama or LSU, because I don't think they can assert their will in that type of game against like an LSU, obviously, now. But will they be able to eventually cut down on these yards that they're giving up?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I love Oklahoma State. I love the way they play the game. This is the type of team that got me into college football. The problem is, it's not the type of team that wins a championship going up against a team that is a defensive powerhouse that has a month to prepare for you. That game honestly doesn't interest me at all. As much as I just said I don't need to see a rematch between LSU-Alabama, LSU-Oklahoma State is lower than LSU-Stanford, obviously, which is my preferred matchup. It's lower than LSU-Boise State for me, honestly. I'd rather see what Boise State can do against that team, because I think Oklahoma State is a terrible matchup against LSU for all the reasons you just illustrated.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the issue is, and we're not trying to hate on Oklahoma State.
No, and they really deserve to be the two spot, 100%. They're really killing great competition. Yeah. They're blowing teams out. Their offense is awesome. But proceed.
We've been with them for many games this season. The issue is, imagine a guy like Jordan Jefferson. Oklahoma State has now shown time and time again that they struggle against mobile quarterbacks. They're going to see a mobile quarterback against Iowa State. They're going to get a few more tests before the season's done. But Jordan Jefferson and that LSU offensive line and what they do with their different running backs, their different style of running backs, to control the line of scrimmage is going to be such a piece of cake for LSU in a game like that, that it just does kind of make you a little bit disheartened by the possibility of that game happening, especially when it would be a home game, essentially, for LSU. So again, we, you know, Boise State, Stanford, you know, you want to make a case that the game would be in a little bit more of an entertaining and balanced battle in those games. This one just doesn't seem like it would happen, even though I'm sure that we'd see Justin Blackman get his yards against very good secondary players. But that's about the only thing that would be a fun matchup to watch in that one.
Yeah, it would be. And we'd probably see Whedon, like you said, as good as he is, we'd probably see him turn the ball over two or three times. And LSU probably wins that one by double digits. Looking at the BCS standings, perhaps the most interesting thing to come out of that game of the century was the fact that Alabama didn't go down very far. In the BCS standings, they went from 2 to 3. Yeah. Oklahoma State jumped them. Oklahoma State obviously controls their own destiny at this point. They have to beat Texas Tech on the road, Iowa State on the road, and then that big game against Oklahoma, of course. Alabama is slightly ahead of Stanford. If you look at the decimal points in the BCS, Alabama coming in at 8836, Stanford coming in at 8749, but the most interesting thing, Boise State coming in at 8473. If Stanford beats Oregon this week, I can't imagine they don't jump Alabama. That's way too big of a win.
Yeah.
Of course, Stanford still has the Notre Dame game to end their season, which gives them more points. But looking at the discrepancy between Alabama and Boise State, Alabama with 8836, Boise State with 8473. And just to clarify again, I'm just looking at the computer BCS numbers, which I don't understand either. Yeah. But that's obviously a somewhat noticeable discrepancy. Even if Boise State gains some ground beating TCU at home, that's not a good enough win. I don't think that's as good as a win as Alabama going on the road and beating Auburn in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even think Boise State can get ahead of Alabama this week. But even if they did, I would think a win over Auburn for Alabama would trump Boise State's win over New Mexico in their finale. So if Oklahoma State and Stanford lose, could we see a rematch of Alabama before we see Boise State in there?
You know, that's the question, because you would think the system's set up to keep that from happening. It'd be interesting to see where a team like Oklahoma, if they were to beat Oklahoma State,
what kind
of jump could that give them? Because I still think that's a very real scenario when you get that kind of a win over Oklahoma State from the computer number perspective. I just can't make it a way in my head for Boise State to get the necessary points to jump these teams. It's so difficult because this TCU game was supposed to be their chance that if they won it wherever they were positioned, and five, you know, if you really think about it, if they were positioned at five at the beginning of the season, and they thought that that game against TCU at number five was going to be their game, they'd probably feel pretty good about that. The issue is the TCU win isn't going to give them the juice that they need anymore. And even like you said, if it gave them a little bit this week, I'm not even sure if beating TCU would allow them to pass Alabama this week.
No.
But even if it did, by the time Bama gets to Auburn, I think it goes the other way on them. It's unfortunate. We just talked about Kellen Moore, and all of those words are true. But how do we make a case to get Boise State ahead of these other teams with the numbers as we see them right now? I just don't know how to do it.
If Oregon goes on the road and beats Stanford, and then the following week they beat USC,
yep,
couldn't you put them ahead of Boise State? I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get in there. It would take an awful lot to get them in there. But I'm just saying from a strictly ranking perspective, their only loss is to LSU, and they have more signature wins.
Yeah, and it may not be meaningful in the national title discussion,
right,
but yes, I think the answer is yes, and I don't love saying that,
right,
but I think that even Oregon, and you could look at Oregon and Arkansas conceivably passing Boise without much of a problem, so you know, this is a difficult situation for Boise State because we've pointed towards this game that they're about to play this week. We've pointed to it all season as being a make or break point in their season. And right now, it's kind of an afterthought because we can't even figure out a way for them to get anything out of it this next BCS standings.
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, and it gets back to the argument we've had before about is it good to beat a team by a little or by a lot? If Boise State crushes TCU, now TCU's a three-loss team. Yeah. Lost to Baylor, who's kind of falling apart a little bit down the stretch here. They did get the big win over Missouri last week, but they're going to end up with four or five losses. And then SMU, who really hasn't looked sharp over the last few weeks. So, you know, this would be a TCU team all of a sudden that wouldn't be that strong.
The only help that I can envision Boise State getting is if somehow Georgia was to win the SEC.
Yeah.
And if Georgia won the SEC, then maybe Boise State gets enough of a boost, because what you're hoping for at that point is that the SEC is left altogether out of the national championship.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a chance.
If two spots were open for them, you got to figure they could get in there that way. But it would also be kind of fun to see in practice just how much that strength of schedule really means to these computers, because we'll see Boise State sitting at home, and we'll see Georgia going up against probably LSU. And if Georgia beats LSU while Boise State is sitting at home doing nothing, be interesting to see what happened in the BCS standings for Boise State.
Yeah.
And it would kind of give us a precedent moving forward as to just how much that strength of schedule means. But I think Boise State's one of the most fascinating stories left here, because Oklahoma State obviously controls their own destiny. Stanford needs an Oklahoma State loss, especially after the ASU loss to UCLA. My apologies for bringing that up, but that really hurts the Pac-12 championship game win for Stanford or Oregon. Stanford won't need it if they're undefeated, because nothing would change, but it hurts a team like Oregon that, you know, with that one loss, that win in the Pac-12 South isn't going to be as much, or isn't going to mean as much. Boise State is the team that it looks like they're going to go undefeated. They're going to be a double-digit favorite in every game down the stretch, obviously. They're a 14-point favorite this week. They're the team that's going to be in this conversation if Oklahoma State and Stanford lose. Stanford, we're going to talk about them, but that could be this week. And Oklahoma State has the Oklahoma game at the end of the season. And Texas Tech, we know what they can do. We saw what they did to Oklahoma, so it could happen.
Yeah, an undefeated Boise at the end of the year being left out of a national championship, probably winning in the Fiesta Bowl or something. It's just the same old story, so let's run it again.
It's just college football. Yeah, let's just go over it one more time. So